Let's just bow together. Just briefly again. Just at the throne of grace and prayer. Father, as we look forward, thinking of the meetings, the activities planned, want to cry, Father, for your help. Pray the Lord will be present in this house at all of these meetings. Lord, come in your power, we pray of thee. Want to ask, Father, that your hand of blessing will rest upon all that is done. We're conscious, Father, that we need the Lord and we need your blessing. We cry with Jabez, oh, that you would bless us indeed and enlarge our coasts. Lord, it's for those extraordinary blessings that we cry to thee for. I want to ask, Father, earnestly tonight that you'll keep your hand upon this church, that we'll see it extended. We think of those words that he prayed for enlargement, that you'd enlarge our coasts. And Lord, that's our prayer, even for this work. We ask for the gospel mission, that you'll be amongst us. Lord, give us stirring times. We're mindful of missions held here in former years when the Lord came down in power. And Lord, it's for one of those old-fashioned meetings, those old-fashioned missions that we cry for even tonight. Lord, give us even a token for good in this meeting. Give us, we pray, some of the first fruits of that gospel mission. Give us, Father, we pray, an indication of the Lord moving and stirring and at work even among us people. We pray for help now. Lord, open your word to us. Let there be a stillness in our hearts and a stillness in the meeting. Give us a hearing tonight. Let there not be a famine of the word in this meeting. And Lord, we pray that we'll feel the power of your word and we'll see the power of the gospel displayed in the changing of the lives of men and women and young people. We ask these things tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. We're in the book of Ecclesiastes, please, and the 11th chapter. You'll find the words of my text in the final two verses of that 11th chapter, Ecclesiastes 11. Verses 9 and 10, think of them carefully. Solomon, or the preacher, as we've indicated, is addressing young people in particular. He says, "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and our vanity." I want to think of those words just for a little while tonight. During the time of the Civil War in the United States of America, there was a young man, he was a godless young man, that joined the army. He rose up through the ranks, showed great promise, soon rose to the office of captain. In those days, the soldiers were given a little copy of the scriptures. They would keep that little copy in the breast pocket of their tunic, of their jacket. They would keep it there at all times. They were encouraged to read often the word of God. But this man was careless of spiritual things. Careless of the things of God and the gospel. He gave very little thought to the Bible, and he seldom, if ever, took it from his pocket to look at it. During a very fierce battle, this captain was asked, the orders were given that he would take his men down to a certain town, a certain point, where they were to give great defense. And it was a fierce battle that raged. And after the battle was over, the man noticed something very unusual. He noticed that a musket ball had lodged in the Bible in his pocket. And as he thought about it, he realized that the Bible had saved his life. Only for that little book in his pocket, the musket ball would have went into his heart and taken his life. And he took the little Bible out of his pocket, as you can imagine, to take the musket ball from it. And he opened the scriptures at the place where the musket ball had stopped. And it was at these words, men and women, Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. That was the very place where the musket ball stopped. And this text, men and women, was the very message that that careless young man needed to hear. And the Lord brought it before him that day. The Lord brought it before him in a very remarkable way. And it was the means of bringing him to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And can I say to you tonight, perhaps, men and women, this verse describes you as well. Sums up your life. Sums up the way that you've been living. We mentioned those words of Peter's this morning about those that run to an excess of riot. Maybe that's the life that you have been living. And this verse, these words, are the very message that you need to hear. As I've said to you, it's especially a message for young people. Solomon is addressing the youth. It's repeated over and over in these verses and some of the verses to follow as well. It's especially a message for young people. Sometimes young people don't realize it, but we were all young once. All of us in the gathering tonight, regardless of our age. So that really means, men and women, that this verse contains a message for us all. And I want you to think of the warning that sounded, especially the warning for young people from these words. You think, first of all, of the attitude of the young person. It's described there, the attitude of many young people as they live a reckless and a careless life. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. Isn't it true? Isn't it very apt? Those words describe the lifestyle of many young people, many a young person. They describe even the lifestyle of many that are not so young. Maybe some in the gathering tonight. This is how multitudes in our society live today. And it's sad to say, but it's how many young people brought up in Christian homes live today as well. They run after sin with all of their heart. As the verse says, they walk in the ways of their heart and in the sight of their eyes. The attitude today is, if it looks good, if it feels good, then do it. If I want it and I like it, then I must have it. You don't care what your parents say. You don't care what the preacher says. The fact is, you don't even care what God says, what the Bible says. You say, I will live as I like, and I will do as I please. I'll just do what is right in my own eyes. Can I ask a young person tonight, even older person in the meeting, is this your attitude to life? Is this the lifestyle that you portray and display? You say, I love my sin, I love my wild life. The text used the word rejoice. Rejoice, really rejoicing in sin, is what Solomon is saying. You say life is great. Life is full of pleasure. Life is full of enjoyment. And there's maybe not a doubt about that. Sin certainly has its pleasures. But remember the warning of the Bible, that sin's pleasures are just for a season. They don't last. They're only for a little while. You know, many young people sow their wild oats, and then they pray and they hope that there'll be a crop failure. But you know, it doesn't work like that. Never forget the principle of the scriptures, that you reap what you sow. And if you live a life of sin, there are two things in particular that you will reap. Two things in particular that sin will do to you. And I want to stress them for you tonight. Two things that sin does. It destroys your body and it damns your soul. You stop and think of those two great truths tonight. You know, the devil wants to blind you to those realities. The Bible says that the devil blinds the minds of those that believe not. He doesn't want you to see the reality of where sin will take you. You think of the bee. The bee has honey in its mouth, but it has a sting in its tail. And sin is just like that. It tastes good, but it has a deadly sting that will destroy you. And if you're not careful, it will damn you as well. General Harrison, the United States, he went on to be one of the presidents of the United States. He was at a dinner one night that was held in his honor. Speeches were being made and toasts were being offered. Every time the toast was made with a glass of alcohol, he would lift a glass of water in response. It irritated one of the speakers. And the speaker made the appeal publicly to General Harrison that maybe he would honor them with a toast of alcohol in response. And they urged him, and they urged him, put pressure upon him. At last he stood and he said, "Gentlemen, I made a resolve when I started life that I would avoid strong drink. I am one of a class of 17 who graduated from college together, and the other 16 members now fill a drunkard's grave. I owe my health, my happiness, my prosperity to my early resolution. Would you urge me to break it now?" And not a man spoke in response. You think of that. 16 men, 16 friends, 16 classmates, and every one of them in a drunkard's grave. The devil doesn't want you to see or to think of things like that. Young people, let me say to you tenderly tonight, sin destroys your body and it will damn your soul. You think of James. Didn't he say, "Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death"? Not just physical death, but eternal death as well. What is the end, men and women and young people? What is the end of a life of sin? That's the question that you would do well tonight to ask. Look past the fleeting pleasures of today and ask yourself, what is the end of a life of sin? Where will sin take you? And the answer is, it will take you to hell. That's where the path will finish. And what you need to do is turn off that road. Turn off that broad road before it takes you to hell and to a lost eternity. What you need to do, my friend, is get onto that narrow road that leadeth onto life and leadeth onto heaven. So there's the attitude of the young person. But think as well, the text talks about the accounting of the young person. There was a Christian man, Donald Campbell. He worked at the docks. One day during a break, as he spoke with his colleagues, that they were ridiculing him for being a Christian. And they said that he wasn't a Christian at all. He was just a killjoy. And what they did was, some of them knew this verse, Ecclesiastes 11 and verse 9. Some of them knew the verse. And they started to quote it to him. "Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes." And that's as far as they went. They were quoting this verse of scripture to Donald Campbell. But Donald Campbell stepped forth. He knew the Bible well. There was a board where they wrote all the quantities that were going in and out of the docks. And he took a piece of chalk, men and women, and he wrote the words at the end of the verse. "But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment." And that silenced every man that was standing around him that day. You know, it does not often happen, men and women. People only quote a part of a verse. They just quote the bit that suits them. And many people want to forget the end of this verse of scripture. Know thou, here's something you need to know. that for all these things, the way you're living, the sins you're committing, know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. You think of your sin, young person, maybe your drunkenness, your immorality. Think of your rebellion, your desecration of the things of God. And remember this, there's going to be a day of reckoning. There's going to be a day when you must answer, a day when you must account for all of those things. The message is clear from the text. The message is there's judgment to come. There will be no evasion. There will be no escaping. There will be no running away from it. We thought a little of that this morning, those that try to run from God, but there will be no running away from the judgment of God. Whether you want to or not, my friend, if you die without Christ, then one day you must stand at the great white throne of God. This is not a theory. It's not a dream. It's not some cunningly devised fable. It's something that is absolutely sure and certain. The Bible declares it, and conscience confirms it. There's going to be a day of judgment. And notice, you'll be judged personally. He says that for all these things God will bring thee into judgment. You'll answer for your own life. You'll answer for your own deeds. You'll have to account for your own sins. As the book of Romans says, so then every one of us shall give account of himself to God. You'll be judged personally. It tells us as well you'll be judged universally. It says for all these things, not some of them, not most of them, not the worst of them. He says for all these things, all your sins, all your iniquities. Here's the extent of the judgment, men and women. It'll be universal. Every part of your life will be judged on that day, including the sins of your youth. They'll not be overlooked. They'll not be forgotten. There'll be many an action, many a deed, many a word that you have long forgotten. But they will rise up on that day to condemn you, to condemn you on the day of judgment. Older person in the meeting, doesn't the verse speak to you as well? You think of the sins of former times, the sins of your youth, maybe now many, many years ago, sins that you've forgotten, sins that have never been confessed, sins that have never been repented of. Remember, they're still on the record, and they'll be judged as well. Know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. There's a third and final thing I want you to see. Not just the attitude of the young person and the accounting of the young person. Think of the appeal that is made here to the young person. Notice there the words of verse 10. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh. I'm sure you're familiar with the name of Augustine. He was one of the great early fathers of the Church of Christ. As a young man in his unconverted days, he lived a life of open and deep sin. But he had a praying mother. Her name was Monica. She kept her son before the Lord. She kept praying for him. And one day when he was in the eternal city, as it's known, the city of Rome, he went into a garden and he was under conviction by the Spirit of God. He threw himself down on the ground and he heard a voice saying to him, take up and read. Take up and read. He had a scroll, a part of the scriptures with him. And the scriptures, when he opened it, it was at the place of Romans 13 and verse 14. But put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. And that's the verse the Lord used. He had been making great provision for the flesh and the lusts. Maybe that's what you've been doing too, young person. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lusts thereof. The Lord used those words to his conversion. And I want to urge you tonight, men and women, take up and read. Take up these verses in the book of Ecclesiastes and read them carefully. Read this earnest appeal that is made especially to young people. And there are two things that the Lord appeals to you to do. One is to repent. Verse 10, therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh. He's urging you to turn away from your sins. Will you do it tonight in this gospel meeting? You've been appealed to repent. But you've also been appealed to remember. If you go into the next chapter, it opens with those familiar words. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. There's an appeal to young people. The days of your youth. And he says to do it now. Not some other time. Not when you're older. Not when you're married. Not in middle life. Not in old age. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. That word remember means more than just to think about God. It is the idea of paying attention. You need to obey His word. And here, men and women, is what you need to do. Repent and remember. The message is really, you need to get saved. And you need to get saved now. Don't wait until you're old to come to Christ or to get right with God. There was a famous Scottish preacher by the name of Andrew Bonner. Andrew Bonner asked 253 Christians that he knew what age they were at conversion. Wouldn't that be an interesting thing to do tonight? If we were to take the time to ask everybody in the meeting what age you were when you were converted. Andrew Bonner did it. Wilbur Chapman, the American evangelist, did the same thing in a similar way. But let me tell you the results of the little bit of research that Andrew Bonner did. 253 Christians. He asked them what age they were at conversion. It's very interesting. 138 of them were saved before they were 20. 85 were saved between 20 and 30. Just 22 were saved between 30 and 40. And only 8 were saved after 40 years of age. What a warning that is. Will you ponder those figures carefully? Men and women, young people especially. What they're teaching us, what they're impressing upon us, is that most people, the vast majority of people, are saved when they're young. And I want to urge every young person in this meeting, I want to urge you to get saved now. Don't you wait until you're old to come to Jesus Christ. You say, why? Why should I get saved now when I'm young? Well, for one thing, your heart will harden. As time goes on, sin has that effect. Sin hardens the hearts of men and women. And if you go on in your sin rejecting Christ, your heart will be hardened against God and against His word. You'll not have the same interest. You'll not be moved the same. You'll not be concerned the same. Another reason why you ought to be saved now is you may lose the ability to think. You may lose the ability to reason, to consider the truths of the gospel. You'll not always have the soundness of mind. You'll not always have the clarity of thought and of thinking that you have today. And if those things were taken from you, you'd never be able to consider the truths of the gospel in order to get right with God. And remember too, why should you get saved when you're young? There is such a thing as stepping over the deadline. Remember the hymn, "How do you know but your soul may be drifting over the deadline tonight?" There's such a thing as the last opportunity. There's such a thing as the last invitation. And perhaps for some, that may be in this meeting. even tonight. Don't wait until you're old. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. I'll say this to you just in conclusion. There's a man, Sir James Falshaw. He was a very wealthy man, a very prominent man in Great Britain in the 19th century. He was a friend of the good and great Queen Victoria. They held a dinner in his honour to mark his 80th birthday. And at that dinner, they asked him this question. Sir James, is there anything in your life, any one factor, upon which you can lay your finger as the secret of your wonderful prosperity? And he said immediately in reply that he could answer that question without any difficulty. And this is what he said. Whatever prosperity, success, and honour has attended my life, I attribute it to this. The fact that when I was just 15 years of age, I gave my heart to God and received Christ as my Saviour. And men and women, young people particularly, I urge you tonight to do the same. Whatever age of youth you're at, be saved in this meeting. Don't wait. Don't linger any longer. You have a choice to make in the gathering this evening. You can either devote your days to sin, or you can consecrate your days and your life to the Lord. Can I ask you, which is it going to be? I want to plead with you. Give your heart, give your life to Jesus Christ tonight. Listen to the text again, just as a finish. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. And walk in the ways of thine eyes and in the sight, in the ways of thine heart and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all these things, God will bring thee into judgment. Therefore, remove sorrow from thy heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are vanity. I pray God will write that message on every heart in the gathering tonight.